Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet. Toes. Come on. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
Let's get right to it, Stephen A. On Tuesday, Brian Flores filed a lawsuit in Manhattan against the NFL and three teams, the Dolphins, New York Giants, and Denver Broncos, alleging racial discrimination and hiring practices. As a part of the lawsuit, Flores alleges that Ross offered him $100,000 per loss during the 2019 season, his first as head coach, in an attempt to tank to strengthen the value of the Dolphins' draft pick. Miami fired Flores last month after three seasons with the team, including consecutive winning years in 2020 and 21. Ross said the decision was made because of issues with the collaboration within the organization, but Flores alleges his firing stemmed from his refusal to tank in 2019. Ross responded publicly to the allegations in the lawsuit for the first time Wednesday night. With regards to the allegations being made by Brian Flores, I am a man of honor and integrity and cannot let them stand without responding. I take great personal exception to these malicious attacks, and the truth must be known. His allegations are false, malicious, and defamatory. We understand there are media reports stating that the NFL intends to investigate his claims, and we will cooperate fully. I welcome that investigation, and I'm eager to defend my personal integrity and the integrity and values of the entire Miami Dolphins organization from these baseless, unfair, and disparaging claims. Brian Flores, no longer standing alone. Hugh Jackson accusing the Cleveland Browns of being incentivized to lose as well. Kimberly Demert, who is the executive director of the Hugh Jackson Foundation, said in a phone interview with ESPN that their proof is well documented and previously had been presented to the league. Demert declined to say how much money was discussed. Here's Jackson with L. Duncan on the 6 o'clock Sports Center with more.
What I see is that it's not, you know, I wasn't offered $100,000 for every game, but there was a substantial amount of money made within, you know, what happened in the situation every year at the end of it. And I didn't, like I said, really, truly understood why until all those numbers and you add it up and you go, what is this? And then you look at year three and four and it talks about winning games. It talks about winning 8 to 10 games, winning 10 games and winning the division. To me, that's amazing to me. And no coach takes a job to lose. And I think people understand that. You take jobs to win. Your contract says win. So you don't get paid for losing. And then here I am after being 1-31. I'm kept the third year and given a contract extension that nobody knew. So that should tell everybody something right there. Why do you keep a coach who's 1-31 when your track record has been to get rid of coaches as fast as you can? You give him a contract extension. You keep that quiet. And the same people who were involved in all of these transactions are still running the organization today. So that means they must have been doing something right through all that losing.
Okay, a lot to unpack here. Damian Woody with us. Great to have you, Damian. So the Browns have denied these allegations by Hugh Jackson. To reiterate, Hugh said on SportsCenter that he went to the NFL about the tanking issue. He spoke to Roger Goodell and nothing was done. Now, Hugh just joined KJM where he told them he received $750,000 for tanking and incentives. Stephen A., how concerned should the NFL be over the tanking allegation specifically?
Well, they need to be incredibly concerned. Good seeing you, big boy. Thanks for being on the show this morning.
Same here.
They need to be incredibly concerned. There's no question about it. We're talking about the integrity of the game. That's what we're talking about here. And anytime we all understand that there are teams that want to lose games for drafting position. We understand that, and the NFL may need to take a different look at that because whereas the worst team obviously gets the number one overall pick in the NBA, for example, there's a lottery just to dissuade these kind of actions. You know, obviously, yep. You can still get more ping pong balls available to you and what have you in the National Basketball Association, but it is not a lock that you're going to get the number one overall pick if you have the worst record in basketball. The NFL might need and may be forced to revisit that based on these allegations alone. We shall see. But if you Stephen Ross and you're alluding to your integrity to get to him specifically, the 81-year-old owner of the Miami Dolphins, let me look in the camera and say this. When you talk about you are a man of integrity, You had damn well better be if you want to remain an owner in the National Football League. Because if this is found to be true, the allegations that Brian Flores has made, and they are just allegations, we do not know for sure that this happened. But if it is true that not only did you encourage him to throw games, but you tried to enforce it, even offering him $100,000 per loss, you've got to go. You've got to go as owner of the Miami Dolphins. If you are the owner Haslam for the Cleveland Browns and Hugh Jackson's allegations are found to be true, you, sir, have to go as an owner for the Cleveland Browns. We talk about minority ownership. We talk about the need for black empowerment and for black inclusion when it comes to the NFL ownership group. If it's true, those are two openings that should take place in Cleveland and Miami. Their ownership, they should be forced to surrender ownership of their teams, period, if they had something to do with intentionally tanking football games and encouraging and paying off coaches. That is as egregious as it gets. And I want to say this as well. I think it's important, Damian, that some white folks speak up. And to get specific, I'm talking white coaches, because I want to know if any white coaches have been encouraged to throw games. I want to know if any white coaches were paid to throw games, because if that was not the case, if no white person comes forward proclaiming that that is something that they were offered, that is something that that was forced upon them. If there's no white coaches that are saying that, then what we have is a situation where, oh, the black dude has to do that. The black dude is enforced to do that. And then when you throw these games, all of a sudden you got a horrible record and you could never get a job again. Case in point, Hugh Jackson. Let's go to list. I had to call it up again. Hugh Jackson's record as a head coach in the National Football League in 4 years is 11-44. That's a horrible record.
Yeah.
One season, 2017, he went 0-16. Don't get any worse than that, okay? His record in 3 years in Cleveland was 3-36. These are horrendous numbers. And would explain why nobody was knocking on his door to give him an opportunity, which is why he had to go to Cincinnati after departing from Cleveland as a special assistant. Okay? And now he's coaching at Grambling, and we wish him nothing but the best because he's a good man. And he came right here on this show on First Take, and we appreciated him showing up after he was released from Cleveland. But if ownership had something to do with that, essentially, in Brian Flores' case, where you're a first-time head coach, oh, so the brother has to go, and he's being forced to lose games and tarnish his own record and not prioritize winning. All we're going to see is the record. If it were not for Brian Flores, would we know about Hugh Jackson? Hugh Jackson didn't tell us any of this before. Hugh Jackson was on this show.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackson did countless interviews. He didn't tell us that you know, he was being encouraged to lose on purpose and paid off. He did not give us that indication. So I know he told Keyshawn Johnson something this morning, and I know he did interviews with Al Duncan on SportsCenter yesterday, but he did not tell us this all of these years, which means we would not have known if it were not for Brian Flores. I think we need to think about all of that, Damian Woody, and I want to know, were any white coaches in the National Football League offered or had forced upon them losing games and offered money to do so? Because if it didn't happen, then that means you saved such a mandate for the brothers. And that's a problem. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, listen, Stephen A., first of all, you know, I want to echo the point that you made. If these supposed allegations turn out to be true regarding Stephen Ross and $100,000 per game for losing each game, he should be stripped of being the owner of the Miami Dolphins. You can't have the NFL talking in one breath, talking about the integrity, the shield, the integrity of the game, but then one of your owners is actively throwing games. That's just, it just can't happen. And here's what I want to point out as far as the NFL is concerned in this aspect. Stephen, you remember the statement a couple of days ago the NFL put out in regards to this lawsuit, how they basically said, it was without merit.
Yes.
I mean, it literally, like, the lawsuit dropped, and then the NFL issued a subsequent statement, like, within a couple hours, saying that the lawsuit was without merit. And I just go back to one of Brian Flores' lawyers who said the NFL put more time into investigating Deflategate than they put into, at this moment, the allegations that Brian Flores has brought to the light as far as tanking, money offered by Stephen Ross. So what does that tell you, Stephen A? What does that tell you about this whole process?
Well,
what does that tell you?
You want me to answer?
That worries me. That worries me that are we going to get a real investigation into this whole thing? The fact that you're willing to put more resources and energy initially into Deflategate than this bombshell accusation by Brian Flores, that is disturbing. And so I have to say this as far as this whole deal with Brian Flores. The fact that you would offer a head coach, and more importantly, a black head coach, to tank, offer him money. Think of the disrespect that you got to have for a coach to offer him $100,000 per loss when we know how hard it is as an African-American coach to get said job. I mean, Brian Flores had to work himself up the ranks from scouting department to being, you know, an assistant, a defensive coordinator, all to position himself to get a head coaching job. And then the owner is going to say, you know what? I'm trying to get a higher draft pick. So here's $100,000 each game if you'll tank these things.
Damien,
think of the level of disrespect.
Let me interject.
Yeah, go ahead, Stephen A.
I feel compelled to interject. And I want to caution all my brothers and sisters at ESPN, black, white, and in between. We're the worldwide leader. We're the monolith. We're the mothership, as some people call us, okay? Let's be clear about something here. It is highly suspicious. What's going on? There definitely needs to be an investigation. We all understand that. But Brian Flores made an accusation. We have to wait to see the proof. Stephen Ross, I don't know the man. I know about Rise. I know about his contribution to African-American causes. I know the millions that I know about the millions that he's thrown into all of that and whatever. But it's just an accusation. I don't mean it just as in it's not significant. I understand it's significant. But we have to remind ourselves, we live in America. You are innocent until proven guilty. Stephen Ross is categorically and emphatically denying these claims made to him by Brian Flores. Now, am I raising an eyebrow? You're damn right. And are both you and I, Damien, on the record saying he's got to go if this is true? Absolutely. Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Cleveland Browns, if what Hugh Jackson said is true, he's got to go. There's no doubt about that. But what I don't want any of us doing is acting as if the man is quiet and went and hid in a hole or something. Or this is emails like the John Gruden situation where there's evidence that's been there and we've seen it and all of this other stuff. And the brother's got to resign. This 81-year-old owner for the Miami Dolphins has categorically and emphatically denied the claims levied against him by Brian Flores and his legal team in this civil lawsuit. So we can't talk about him as if he's guilty. We can say we're suspicious. We can look at him and say, oh, you got some explaining to do, my brother. You need to explain, you and Jimmy Haslam. You need to come out and explain yourself, no doubt about it. But we don't know. And as a result of that, the NFL has to investigate. And I hear your point about the investigation. But Brian Flores just came out with these accusations a couple of days ago. And oh, by the way, the accusation wasn't just levied against three teams, New York, Miami, and Denver. It was also levied against the National Football League office. Deflategate wasn't the case. Deflategate is under your purview. You had nothing to do with what was going on in New England. So you could bring the heavy house down because nobody was investigating you. And the effort that they put forth towards the Flake Gate to find out what the hell was going on, who were the culprits, et cetera, et cetera. Well, it's easy to do when you don't have to ward off the shrapnel of cynicism coming in your direction because an allegation has been levied against you. That's not the case here. In this case, the allegation has been levied against the National Football League just a couple of days ago. So I'm not going to look at them as if they're dragging their feet. I believe they're going to investigate the situation involving Miami and Cleveland, specifically because of Hugh Jackson, because that points to the integrity of the game. And they have no choice, and they know they got to address that. I believe they're going
to
do that.
Real quick, so they said they are going to investigate that, the tanking issue. The part that they didn't need to investigate was the hiring practices, because they believe
the NFL's league office.
Yes, right. Yes. That they weren't going to investigate, and that is what the statement they were standing by.
Right.
Not the tanking issue.
Exactly.
That will
not
be
the tanking issue.
That will be investigated.
Not the tanking issue, nor were they letting off the hook New York, Denver, Miami. What the league is saying is us. Now, where they made a mistake is our clubs, when they include those words, our clubs, and then said the case is, the lawsuit is meritless, that's where they messed up.
But to Damian's point, tanking and throwing games is far more egregious to the integrity of the game than deflating footballs for a quarterback.
That's right. Right. But it just happened 2 days ago, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, right. But he's right.
Well, here's what I'm going to say, Stephen A. I think, you know, as we talk about the tanking and all this stuff as relates to Stephen Ross and Jimmy Haslam, let's keep the main thing the main thing. Yes, we're talking about the tanking, but the main thing is the hiring practices, okay?
Right.
Let's not forget the substance. Right, we need to keep the main thing the main thing. Let's not get caught up in that. I'm not saying that it's not worthy of discussion,
right,
but we need to keep the main thing here. The hiring practice is the big topic and the topic that needs to have the most light shined upon it in this whole discussion that
we're having. Totally agree. Totally agree, because listen, when we talk about the whole social justice movement and all the protests and everything that was taking place in the aftermath of the murder of George Floyd, what folks keep forgetting and I keep bringing up is that it was a metaphor for what black folks believe has been going on for centuries. This proverbial knee on our neck keeping us down. That's what it was all about. And so for me, when I look at this situation involving Brian Flores, I'm saying if his allegations are true, let's focus on, like you just said, the hiring practices of teams within the National Football League. The NFL itself has been trying to enforce the Rooney Rule, but you can't make owners do, billionaire owners do, what they don't want to do when you answer to them because they're the ones paying you. So as a result, everybody's lumped into it. It raises an eyebrow, but in the end, you're absolutely right. Even though tanking is a significant issue, we can't lose sight of what the real story is here. And the real story here is the hiring practices. Yeah. There's one black coach in the National Football League in 2022, when in 2003 the Rooney Rule was first implemented, there were 3 black head coaches. There are now less black head coaches, only 4 black offensive coordinators in a 32-team league, when we know most dudes getting jobs are offensive coordinators.
Yeah.
So it's a problem. And we don't need to lose sight of that.
So 2 things I just want to highlight and clarify. So, Damian, you're saying the NFL needs to investigate the hiring practices, that these fair practices are being implemented by each team. And then, Stephen A., I want to underscore another point that you said. Are there any white coaches that that were asked to tank?
That's right.
And if so, they need to come forward.
Right.
And that's critical. And I haven't heard anybody say that. And that's paramount to this conversation.
And guess what, Damian? That really leans towards the major point both you and I want to keep everybody focused on is the hiring practices. Because when they talk about comfort or what have you, with white folks, they're talking about your comfort with them. Okay, we get along, we know each other, we have confidence, and then we believe they could be leaders of men. When you hire in black coaches, again, if Flores' situation, if Hugh Jackson's allegations or both of their allegations are true, what you're saying is what you really, really want when you're hiring a black man to be a head coach is somebody you can easily manipulate. That's what you're looking for. The more you can manipulate them, the more you like them, as opposed to judging them on the merits of their job performance. This is a problem, and that's why we need to keep ourselves focused on that.
Really strong points by both of you. I want to get to another major story today, gentlemen. Jim Harbaugh called Michigan to inform the school that despite interviewing with the Minnesota Vikings on Wednesday, he will be returning to the school for the 2022 season. Sources telling our Adam Schefter, Michigan was, in the words of one source, elated to get Harbaugh's decision. Harbaugh told the AD that this would not be a recurring issue and that he would be staying in Michigan as long as the school wants him. Now, Los Angeles Rams offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell has emerged as the favorite to become the head coach in Minnesota. That according to Schefter and our Dan Graziano. Harbaugh did not receive an offer from the Vikings before he left. A source told ESPN's Courtney Cronin he had worked with the Vikings' new GM in San Francisco. Here's Courtney Cronin on KJM.
I think that there was this assumption from his side of things that did not line up with what the Vikings were intending Wednesday to be. And it was a real job interview. It was the exact same format, the same schedule, the same people that he would meet with that they did on Tuesday for Giants defensive coordinator Patrick Graham. So, you know, Harbaugh came in, according to sources I've talked to, you know, the last 24 hours.
Yeah, I need to hear the comments.
His intention was, I'm going there to sign a contract. And that just, like, was not the case. This was a real job interview where he had to sell the team on him being the best fit for the job. And the fact is, it just did not, you know, both sides did not agree eye to eye on kind of what the entire thing was. And that's why he left Minnesota on Wednesday without an offer.
Damian Woody, are you surprised the Vikings didn't offer Harbaugh that position?
I am surprised, considering the status of Jim Harbaugh, the relationship he had with the new general manager in Minnesota, the resume that Jim Harbaugh has in the National Football League. I am a little surprised. I think that Jim Harbaugh really embarrassed himself in this situation. He really did, because going there with the assumption that he was going to get the job, and now he has to turn around and go back to Michigan. And he went to interview on National Signing Day. So think about that. Think about the ammunition that he's given, whether it's Ryan Day at Ohio State and other coaches around the country, as far as Jim Harbaugh is concerned, as far as recruiting. That's going to be a killer, because now every cycle that comes around with Jim Harbaugh, this is going to be weaponized. It's going to be used against Jim Harbaugh as far as going up against other recruits. So I think there was definitely miscommunication. The fact that Jim Harbaugh assumed that he was getting the job and didn't get the job, this is going to hurt him at Michigan.
I don't agree with that for a couple of reasons. Number one, let's understand something. Jim Harbaugh has a relationship with the new GM of the Minnesota Vikings. That's why making an assumption is something that's not off kilter per se, because if you have a close relationship with somebody and they've given you an indication that you're their guy, which by all accounts, Jim Harbaugh was given that indication that he's the guy, then that assumption is not a crime. That's number one. Number two, if you're Michigan, beggars can't be choosers. I mean, my God, the guy is 61-24 as the head coach of the Michigan Wolverines in 7 years. He just got them to the football players, college football players, for the first time. He beat Ohio State. Okay, so I mean, he's playing with house money, Damian. He finally beat Ohio State. So when you just coming off beating Ohio State, they just happy to have you back. And this is after cutting his salary in half from $8 million to $4 million because he knew he hadn't measured up to snuff prior to this season, where he ultimately beat Ohio State and get to the college football playoffs. So I think it's not a big deal in that regard. Last but not least, I want to say this. Having said all of that, I want everybody to understand, I don't give a damn about this Jim Harbaugh story. I would care more if he went to Minnesota, to the Vikings, a team that hasn't been to the Super Bowl since 1976, by the way, when Fran Tarkenton was quarterbacking their team, okay? They haven't been to the Super Bowl since 1976, and Kirk Cousins is their quarterback. So even if Jim Harbaugh was there, he'd find a way to lose when it really, really counted. We don't give a damn about the Jim Harbaugh story because he's staying at Michigan. We'd care more if he left. Here's where the story gets interesting to me. We talk about Brian Flores, right? And we see the accusations that he's made. And we talked about Hugh Jackson, right? This guy, Kevin O'Connell. Let me apologize. It's not about you, my brother. You get the job. I wish you nothing but the best. I think you're doing a damn good job with the Los Angeles Rams. Y'all in the Super Bowl. There's nothing to question about that, even though it helps that Matthew Stafford is your quarterback instead of Jared Goff. Congratulations. You see this click that's going on? Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, now it's Kevin O'Connell, you know, all these guys. These are boys. I mean, look at the resume. You know, everybody played, everybody coached at Washington. Everybody coached in San Francisco. I mean, this guy, Kevin O'Connell, I got his resume right here. Quarterbacks coach in 2015 in Cleveland. San Francisco offensive assistant. Quarterback coach again in Washington in 2017 and 2018 before becoming the offensive coordinator. And then now you with the Los Angeles Rams. That little click going on. Now, I'm a fan of Kyle Shanahan. I'm a fan, real big-time fan of Sean McVay. I like those guys, and I respect the hell out of them. They've forgotten more football than I'll ever know. Matt LaFleur, you're lucky you got Aaron Rodgers. We'll see how much love you get when Jordan Love is your quarterback. We'll see, okay? But in the end, I'm noticing the click. And when I and see, these are the kind of things that keep African-Americans from getting the head coaching nod. Because I'm noticing African-Americans are never part of those cliques. The only time they're part of a clique is when it comes to African-American coaches. And since they ain't getting the damn jobs, how can they develop a clique and a tree for others to get opportunities? Yeah, the kind of stuff. Now, listen, mind you, all of these, some of them don't look it, but all of them younger than me, all of them, by a decade at least. Okay, every
maybe
one of
two.
Them. Every one of them. Sean McVay's in his 30s. Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, and these brothers. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, for all I know, they probably went to school with my nephew or somebody. I mean, damn. I mean, it's, life is really, really, really good. And there's this little tree developing that I'm noticing. And all I'm going to say is this. White dudes that talk about how we listening, we hear you or whatever. But y'all ain't got no black friends. Last time I checked, y'all do. Y'all hire cats on your staff, right? You understand? Raheem Morris is the defensive coordinator on Los Angeles. And Byron Leftwich and Todd Bowles are both coordinators under Bruce Arians and stuff like that. We've seen cats. I mean, damn, how come when it's time for hiring, the clique looks conspicuously white and there's no brothers sprinkled into the mix? That's what I'm noticing. That's what I take from this damn story about Harbaugh. It ain't Harbaugh. It's the fact that Kevin O'Connell, all right, who's been there as a coordinator for 3 years, is now on the verge of becoming a head coach. But we got brothers that been in those positions for years and ain't even getting interviews.
Damian, before you jump in to bolster that point, Stephen A., of the hires thus far, only one has head coaching experience, and that is Josh McDaniels. All the other hires thus far have no head coaching experience.
Zero.
Yeah, listen, I got a couple things here. I think number one, I think there's like, what, five other job openings still available, either four or five. So we still have opportunities there. That's number one. Number two, as it relates to Kevin O'Connell, you know, I got to say, Kevin O'Connell was my former teammate when I played with the New York Jets. Brilliant dude. Always knew, you know, during my time with him, he was going to be a coach. There's no question about it. I just, you could see it that long ago. So props to Kevin O'Connell. I think here's where I'm at, Stephen A. Here's where I'm at in this whole hiring process, you know, Jim Harbaugh and et cetera. What I want from this Brian Flores lawsuit, what I want from it, I want a light shone on the actual process, the actual interviews, because what we don't get a lot of the times with a lot of minority, you know, black head coaches is, are they getting feedback? Okay, when I interviewed, what are the things that I did do well? What are the things that I didn't do well? What mm-hmm. brought about the decision mm-hmm. that you made? I think we need to have more transparency from the decision makers, i.e. owners, as to how they came by these decisions, you know, in the whole process, because everything is just so convoluted. It's all hidden behind closed doors. Guys don't know what they need to improve upon, the things they did well, the things they need to improve upon, you know, during the interview process. That's what I need as far as this whole process with the lawsuit. We need to shine a light on that aspect, because without that, we're going to keep spinning our wheels the next cycle when the same thing happens over and over again.
Absolutely. Without transparency, there can be no progress in this hiring process and the effectiveness of the Rooney Rule, which is currently failing us. Stephen A., Damian, you'll be back with us in just a moment. Stephen A., you had something that you wanted to address on a different subject.
I did. I really, really did, because I made a mistake last week, and I want to make sure that I clarify myself. Last week, when discussing the incredible accomplishments of Andrew Wiggins this season, an all-star, by the way, congratulations to him, I introduced his religion in the discussion about vaccination. So let me say this, because people have been making some noise about it. I could have and should have been more clear in that discussion, because I fully understand that Jehovah's Witnesses have no specific opposition to the vaccine. I did not make that clear. Yep. So I want to make sure I make that now. My apologies for the mishap.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The Brooklyn Nets fell to the Kings last night and have now dropped 6 straight. Brooklyn really missing Kevin Durant, falling to 5-10 without him. Keep in mind, his team was the favorite to win it all, not living up to expectations in the Big 3 hype. Brooklyn currently 6th in the East. Here's Harden and Kyrie.
I think he's done a lot, too much talking. I think we've done too much talking. It's just we got to go out there and do it, and do it consistently. You know, we have times where we're great, then we have times where we're really bad. And we just got to find some consistency throughout the course of games, more times than not.
I've been in quite a few players-only meetings. And if we do have a players-only meeting, I know not to tell y'all, because it turns out to be something bigger. There's a guess, you know, of what's happening and what's being said in the locker room, respectfully to y'all. But No powwows as of yet. You know, maybe who knows. But like I said, this is a growth period for us.
You know what, Stephen A., we enjoy obviously coming out to L.A. for the sunshine, yeah. All these things. But catching up with old friends, Chinee Ogumike, it is so good to see you.
I missed you guys.
And to have you in studio on our production call when they said you were in studio, I was like, yes.
Yes. Thank you for your voice. Glad you're back. And Molly, this is my big sis right here, so I'm glad to be here.
Great to have you.
We're proud of you.
And you're going to be on NBA today, guest appearance?
I've been summoned. I mean, this is my girl here, Big Perk, and that was my boy, but that damn Malika Andrews, she's such a boss. You know, Stephen, I need you. Get here. Get here, Stephen. Come on to NBA today.
We're going to talk about that Knicks game. You know we're going to talk about the Grizz, what they did to the Knicks. I'm just going to give them some time.
You know what? Let me help with production real quick. Then we'll get to the topic. Get the video when he's in the crowd with the fans.
Oh, yeah.
It's like New York City. It's so sad. It's so embarrassing.
We're here. Yeah. We're here. We're here.
You need to get that. Tell your producers. All right. Let's focus on the Nets, though, because we can't really brag on them right now. They've lost 6 straight. The trade deadline's a week away. Chinee, is it a mistake for them to ignore trade offers for James Harden?
I don't think it is. And when you look at the situation that the Nets are in, a lot of people are going to be like, okay, they've lost a lot of games consistently the last few weeks. Also, you look at, okay, what did he do last night versus the Kings?
Yeah.
4 points. A lot of people will say, oh, maybe there's some validity to making sure you have, you know, a trade asset available if James Harden is, you know, the one that you want to move. But have you ever really thought, if we put things into perspective, that maybe all these conversations, the deadline, you know, impending, is maybe causing a little bit of this rift that you can see on the court? I think the biggest perspective that we have to really bring together when it comes to the Brooklyn Nets is that this decision You know, to have a big three with KD, Kyrie, and James was a player's choice. They all wanted to play with each other, so much so that James Harden, risked it all per se, left Houston to join this crew. Now, the unfortunate part, and I think a lot of people need to understand this, is that James Harden, no matter what his numbers might be right now, has been the glue for the Brooklyn Nets. He's played 80 games, about 20 or so more than Kyrie and KD. He's the person that's going to give you your best chance to maintain your status in the East right now. You know, for a large portion of the season, without those two or with one or the other, he's been able to keep them in the top four. Right now, this is probably the worst of it. I see why people are like, oh, you might want to explore. But, you know, myself as a player, that idea that your team is thinking about, you know, trading you, that could cause this experiment that you really put all your chips in the middle of the table to implode when right now you really want to win a championship. That's where the Nets are.
Let me say this to you. It is a mistake for the Nets to ignore Harden's, you know, trade rumors and, you know, not taking phone calls. It's a mistake. You listen. You always listen. You have to. That's number one. But before I get into my point about James Harden, let me say this. I'm not really worried about the Brooklyn Nets. First of all, they don't have KD, who I believe, when healthy, is the greatest in the world. Yeah. He's a professional buckets maker. This brother is something special. Ain't concerned about them with him at all, okay? Milwaukee wouldn't be there if he wore size 12 instead of bigger size. They wouldn't even be in the championship, okay? They wouldn't be the champions, all right? That's number one. Number two, Kyrie. And it's really, really nice to see him conducting himself with class as he talks to the media. They're not peons. They're actually human beings that are asking questions that are worthy of being answered. Proud of him for doing that. This brother's a showstopper. And he reminded us of that against Golden State the other night when there was no Harden or KD, and he put on that show. Kyrie is something special. He's box office. I just don't trust him long term. So I'd pay him 1 year to 1 year, but I'd give him, he can make as much money as he wants 1 year to 1 year. As long as he's going to play, he deserves to pay because he's that special. I got to take a moment to give props to the rest of the Brooklyn Nets. Patty Mills, I think, has been sensational this year. Blake Griffin, suddenly he can dunk again now that he's no longer in Detroit.
Goodness.
He can dunk. He can dunk again now that he's no longer in Detroit. And he's been doing
it. But they did say he's out of the rotation. That was a lot.
But that's okay. I'm just talking about what I'm seeing from the young cats, the Claxons, the Cam Thomases of the world, the Bruce Browns of the world. You know, I'm looking at these cats and their activity with the stars. They're complementary pieces that I think can give you some energy, and I like what I'm seeing. Let me get to Harden. Harden is averaging 22-10-8, and he's having a bad year. Shooting 41% from the field, like 33% from three-point range. He's not Harden. I'd listen because there are questions as to whether or not he is what he used to be. Hamstring injury, weight issues, coming into camp out of shape, you know, for initially because he wanted to get out of Houston, and then this year, you know, after last year with the hamstring injury and all of this other stuff. I think this is just me personally, my experience. Yeah. Y'all are just going to have to listen to me on this one.
Okay.
There's something to say about being happy. When you're someplace you want to be.
Absolutely.
He wanted to be in Houston when he was in Houston because he was with Daryl Morey and he was treated like royalty. You ain't the man in Brooklyn. That would be KD.
But James Harden hasn't said anything to the like that he's not happy.
I understand that. I understand it. You know I know that. But you also know. We know a lot of things that don't get said, Shanae. You know that. Okay.
But don't you think he'd be happy if they were winning?
No. They've lost six straight, and they're still 29-22.
And also,
by the way, before Kevin Durant goes down,
these are reports that they are not taking calls, not like they're not planning for contingencies.
I'm not saying he's like God miserable or anything like that. I'm just saying there's a difference between going to work every day and being ecstatic about it. Yeah. And what I'm saying to you is that if Harden potentially could fight, because I don't think he's finished by a long shot. He's a superstar, and I think he will show it when it's time. But there's something to be said.
I have a question for you, Stephen.
To be elsewhere.
What would make James Harden happy right now?
Well, at this particular moment, nothing.
Oh, come on.
Hold it up.
No.
At this particular
moment, Kevin Durant being healthy. Full-time Kyrie, 100%. All that.
No. I'm talking about Harden's game himself. We all know that KD coming back.
You want him to be the man he was in Houston.
I'm saying with KD out, you kind of need to be.
Yeah.
With Kyrie only playing road games, you kind of need to be. What I'm saying to you is when we talk about Harden's future, if Harden is contemplating anything That would be the reason why. Because being a complimentary piece, how could it get any better than playing with KD?
But I think it's Harden's prerogative, right?
Sure.
Because this was all the player's design, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And it's not necessarily the Nets. I know that as a front office, you have to plan for these circumstances. Mm-hmm. But right now, if I'm the front office and I'm seeing he's the one that's most likely available for games, we're slipping in the standings, and you're not guaranteed the opportunity to get a superstar back if you trade. The deadline is next Thursday.
You know I'm not saying trade him.
I'm
saying listen, because you don't know what potential.
But if listening can make you unhappy so much that it forces a trade where you're not guaranteed to get a star, you know, player to his caliber, that might put you in a worse situation than you were before.
Chinay's going to be back. You're going to be with us a lot throughout the show. We have 60 seconds left. Look at me. What would be a better situation for Harden?
Me personally, I think Harden would be better off in Philly, but Philly can't do that, and here's the reason why. You better not send Ben Simmons to Brooklyn with Kyrie and KD. They'd win chips. You can't send him there. You got to send Ben Simmons out west.
Yeah.
You can't send him within the Eastern Conference.
I like that move. And Daryl Morey, you know he has a revolving door of star players, what we saw in Houston.
Yes. So
we can meet in the middle, Stephen A.
It could be a three-team deal. Get you hard.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Ain't no running in the L, man. We climb up the chimney.
It's, yeah, for sure.
We ain't ducking no smoke, man. We're going to let everybody know we here. We're going to play hard, trying to get a win. And if you don't like it, oh well.
Stephen A., quick takes. Let's go. The Grizzlies beat your Knicks handily at the Garden. Whose play stood out to you more, the Grizz or the Knicks?
The Grizzlies. The New York Knicks, unfortunately, I expected this. I'm very disappointed in what I've been seeing from them for months. I'm disgusted, but I refrain from that. I'm in love with the Memphis Grizzlies. I love their attitude. I love their athleticism. I love their moxie. They're not scared of anybody. They're not apologetic about it. They are coming, and they have put the league on notice that that is how they are. They talk, and they back it up, and they don't do anything dirty. They just go out there and ball and dare you to beat them. I love the Memphis Grizzlies. I love what I'm seeing.
The young cats walking the talk. I'm with it. The Lakers got a much-needed win against the Blazers last night, thanks in part to a 30-point performance by Anthony Davis. Stephen A., can the Lakers get this type of consistency from AD?
I hope so. If he's healthy, he can do it. People keep forgetting that when we were critical of Anthony Davis because he wasn't playing up to snuff, shooting like 17% from three-point ranges, perimeter shot seemingly evading him, he was still averaging 24 and 10 a game. Anthony Davis is a big-time baller when healthy. The question is not about his game, really. It's about his durability. And as long as Anthony Davis is healthy, you can rest assured he'll give you 25 and 8 a night with ease.
Okay, I believe with this one, the curmudgeon in you is coming out. Yesterday, the Washington football team revealed that they are now, wait for it, the Washington Commanders. You into it?
It's corny as hell. It's really corny as hell. I mean, when I said, please get a name, how the hell are you going to call yourself the Washington football team? You don't even have a name. I know some people didn't mind it. I minded it because there's Washington, the state, and there's Washington, yes. D.C., and it didn't even say D.C. You don't know whether they were even talking
it's
about
the Pacific Northwest. It's very confusing, very vague.
Well, it was very vague. I think the name is corny. okay? But we'll have to adjust with the Washington Commanders. I mean, it sounds like a damn Pop Warner League. I don't know what the hell it is.
So do you prefer the Washington football team to the Commanders?
I damn near almost do because I think the name is that corny. But nevertheless, they do have a name. They have an identity. Okay. We'll go with it. I would have preferred the Washington Generals. That would have been much better than the Commanders. The Commanders. Command what? You're in the NFC least. What are you getting Commander?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Settle down.
I mean, what do you do?
Settle down. I don't know.
I don't know. Commanders.
We'll leave it there.
I mean, I wish them luck, though, because I got love for a lot of people.
Yeah, you got a lot of friends in D.C. They're going to be texting you right now.
I do. They agree with me about the Commanders.
Okay.
I'm here to tell you. It's corny.
Let's get in a break.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.